Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, April the 2nd, 2026, 4/2/26, 12 and a half minutes past the hour on this Thursday morning. Hopefully April showers will bring May flowers, as I have said. And this morning we're joined live in studio by a good friend of mine and somebody who's been on the radio, I think, with me at every station I've ever worked with. He is a Hall of Fame basketball coach in women's basketball. He was the principal of Marion Catholic High School. He was born here in Marion, Ohio, and has a long history, certainly in this city. Good to have Fran Vall with us this morning. Fran, how you doing?
Good. Actually born in this building.
You know, we talked about that last time you were here.
We
were born in this building.
Yes.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, what year was that, Fran?
1943.
You were born in this building. Mm-hmm. What are your memories of this building? It was City Hall at one point. It was the hospital.
And that's about all I remember.
Yeah, yeah. And we're here now.
Yeah, you're here, of course.
Yeah. When you walked in here this morning, did you think, hey, I was born in this building?
Well, I think you do. That kind of sets in your head, you know, when you walk in the front door.
Yeah.
I'm sure for a lot of people out there that are elderly.
Yeah,
as I am becoming more and more every day.
What's life like at your age, Fran?
Still, I'm doing fine. I'm busy. I try to go to the Y and move my bones around a little bit in the mornings and when I can get there. And I'm involved with several things. My pet thing right now is I'm on the Ohio High School, the Ohio Basketball Hall of Fame. We have it's only 10 years old, and we never had one before. Indiana and most states do, and I was around the basketball scene for a long, long time. I meet with other people every month that are the same, and we actually induct people into this Hall of Fame every year. Although we're kind of in a situation where we don't really have a base, but we're working on trying to move it along.
Now, your career as a coach, female basketball coach, Delphus, your record, 208 wins, 17 losses. Is that correct?
Yeah, something.
That's pretty good.
Something like that.
Those are some good numbers.
Yeah. Well, we were pretty good in the early 80s, late 70s, and we had a group of kids that were wanting to learn and wanting to play and get ahead of the game, and everybody else was trying to figure out where the start point was, and we were already down the lane a little bit, and we kind of got a jump.
And then you moved into college.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, that was a good thing for me. Certainly, as much as I enjoyed my high school career and being around those people, Bowling Green, where I went to school, and knew several folks up there that worked in the department and were administrative head type people, called me, and they needed a coach, and they wanted to get the program off the ground and get it on a level field that they could compete with other schools, other universities, and asked me if I would come up and work with their program and get it going. And I did, and fortunately, we got that one going pretty good, too.
What characteristics make up a good coach?
I think they have to be able to communicate with the kids. I think you have to have a lot of empathy. You have to, be a leader. You can't just coach. It's kind of like a way of doing things, a way of life. The kids, they figure that out rather quickly. Mm-hmm. And if you're for them and if you want to improve them, and if you want to have the best team possible, you have to have the best players in all facets, and that, I think, makes a good coach.
What do you make of the rise in popularity and money with people like Caitlin Clark in female sports?
I think what has happened, Scott, I think they're interesting to watch now. I'm not sure we were in the early go, but after Title IX was, you know, came into existence. I think we were not real skilled, but that was understandable. But as the women and the girls have become more skilled, they're fun to watch, and they play below the rim. They don't play above the rim. And Caitlin's been a real good example of that. Plus, when you look at your Olympians and the whole thing, people are – the girls today are wanting to be somebody a lot of times in sports.
What have you made of the money increase? In that? What is it about Caitlin Clark? I mean, she seems to be leading the charge.
Yeah, she's very good. She comes across well. I think she is an attractive person, student athlete that people can certainly look up to, and the young girls do, along with a lot of the older folks that we attracted in those early years. Now those people are growing, and the young ones at least, and we have a whole new base of folks out there.
You know, it's very interesting, Fran. You had this great career in high school and college sports, and then you came back to Marion, Ohio, to be the principal of Marion Catholic High School. Unfortunately, no longer there for a lot of people. Why'd you make that choice?
Well, I thought I wanted to come back to my hometown of Marion after having been gone from 1962 to 2001. It was just always, you know, in my head that this was something that I thought would be good to do, and the job was available, and they asked me to take it, and it was a perfect fit.
You know, it's very interesting because it's not there, and it hasn't been there for quite some time now, and for people who don't remember it, what was it like? How would you describe that school and the community and the group of people you had there?
Well, you know, we had a lot of traditional families that were around Marion for many, many, many years. And everything changes. A lot of those families were no longer there when I was in school in the 60s and my siblings in the 50s. It just became, you know, a little bit more fragmented as far as, you know, your population was concerned. We used to laugh when I was at Delphi sometimes, you know, you could send the school bus out and make five stops and pick up the whole bus, you know what I mean? And that was a little bit the way that was here, certainly with the settlement of the Italians and the Irish and all those people, you know, that came together all those years. And it was a good place for you know, the growth of the church along with their educational needs.
You know what's interesting, Fran, is that we've done interviews on every station I've ever worked at, and some of those interviews exist on YouTube if people go out and search them. And you came on. It's hard to believe this was a kerfluffle for people, but Marion Catholic had a very, very storied history, positive, in the football arena.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a big deal. Former Marion County Sheriff Max Ross was a coach there. They were tremendous, a tremendous, tremendous group. And it was announced that Marion Catholic was going to do away with their football team. And I remember you came on the radio with me at that time, and you said, "This is not good. This is not a good thing."
No.
Why was that such a pivotal turning point?
Well, I think it is in most schools. You know, your athletic program, and football is certainly a rallying point to most schools. One of the other things that I have to point out too, Scott, is we lost the Sisters of Charity. No longer were the young ladies going into the convent, And I thought that that had a whole lot to do with it too, because they were such a backbone to our schools, both grade school at St. Mary's, and then when we built Marian Catholic, we had a fairly amount of fine women that were nuns. And you know, then you start taking on the lay people, which was fine, and we had some great teachers. I think we did a great job educationally. The scores and all the results show that. But Max was one of those men that came along, and he was demanding, and I think he made a lot of men out of boys.
Mm. You had people associated with that school like Father Fury, mm-hmm. Martha Dowson Manasi.
Right.
You know, it was just a wonderful group of people. And anytime you went there, Phil Reed taught there.
Phil was as good a social studies teacher, I think, as there was in the whole city.
And there was so much history there. And I really do think it came as a shock to a lot of people when they announced that it was going to close.
Yeah.
Well, now, you had left just prior to that.
Yeah.
Could you see the writing on the wall at that time?
Well, I think it looked like that could be a possibility in the future. I had a lot of discussions with Columbus, with the Diocese of Columbus, the bishop, we were keeping close track of our numbers and what it costs and all the things that have to go into it. Unfortunately, I think we have good educational systems in Marion County. I felt very good about the kids when they needed to find a school, that we had good schools, and I think that's very fortunate for us to be able to have sent them to our city schools and our county schools.
You know, we talked about all those things: the elimination of the football program, you retired, and the school closed. That all happened, I believe, under a 5-year period.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very quick.
It was quick.
It was. Did you expect it to happen that quickly, those events?
I don't know if I did or not. I really think back sometimes, but it was the right thing to do at the right time. I think that was the bottom line.
Hindsight's 20/20. Do you think there would have been any way to save it?
More kids, meaning more dollars,
right?
But other than that, that was it. Yeah.
What do you make of education today? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on the federal level, mm-hmm. That's for sure. And we just talked to Marion City School Superintendent Brian Murphy last week, and he's talking about all the cuts they're going to have to make. Mm-hmm. A lot of positions going away over the next 2 years because of the funding.
Yeah.
What do you make of education today?
Well, it's definitely going in a different path. More accountability. I think I have three sons that are all educators, one of which is a superintendent. And it's not what it once was. I think sometimes my sister was a teacher for years at Pearl Street and Mark Street, and she loved to teach, and she loved to shut that door and teach those kids to write and read and all that. And I think we have probably a little bit too much coming down from Washington and Columbus. I think we've taken some of the things away from the schools that give them the opportunity to maybe do a little better job.
You know, I remember very well when you left your position at Marian Catholic, there was a big push, and I think we talked about it at the time, that you were strongly considering running for mayor at that time, that there was people had asked you to do it, mm-hmm. and you had not ruled it out. What happened? Why did that never happen?
Because it never happened. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think I'm not sure that that's what I totally wanted to do at that point in time. I think I kind of wanted to see what was out there for me and what I wanted to be involved in. And I guess after all those 45 years of being in a education system, under the Bell system and all that, I guess I wanted some free time, and it probably came at maybe just either too early or too late. I'm not sure. But
how strongly did you consider getting in politics?
I considered it. When I was in Delphus, I was on city council. It's the smallest city in Ohio, by the way, that's considered a city. And I learned a lot, you know, from 10 years of that. And that was a good deal from the standpoint that it supplemented my income, which wasn't great in those years. You know, I kind of liked it. I kind of liked the way, you know, the Ohio Municipal League worked and all the things that you did, to make things function.
What do you make of the state of politics today? We've got a primary coming up in about a month here on May the 5th. What do you make of the way people campaign and how rough it's gotten, even on the local level?
Yeah, it's somewhat disappointing. I don't know if we're talking about the facts like we should be. You know, what are you going to do and how are you going to do it? You know, things of that nature. We're relying too much on other things, fantasies and so on and so forth, for lack of a better word. We need to get down to what needs to be done. And that applies to both houses in Washington and the state house, all of them. And they need to get their heads together. And people need to work together. And I think we've lost that, unfortunately. But, you know, I remember as a kid, if whoever won the presidential race, that was it. That was it. That was the person that you were going to be, have as your president for 4 years. My mom and dad felt that. And, you know, but now it just carries over and carries over and carries over. I don't know. Everything's microscopic, I think. You know what I'm saying? And that probably maybe has a little bit more to do with it. Maybe we relied on the newspapers. Unfortunately, they only came out once a day or, you know, on WMRN or whatever the situation was. But I just think we're overboard. I think we're overboard.
When we look at this gubernatorial race,
Obviously
you're a resident of Ohio. We've got Amy Acton. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a woman. We've never elected a female governor. We've got Vivek Ramaswamy, although he does have a primary coming up, but pretty safe bet that he's going to win that primary. Here is a non-white man. Mm-hmm. We've never had a non-white man elected mm-hmm. governor of Ohio, a man of the Hindu religion. Amy Acton is Jewish. So, you know, neither one of them has ever been elected to political office, and they're going to be the top person in this state. So we're going to have a first. Any way you look at this, what do you make of this governor's race?
Well, the thing that bothers me a little bit on both fronts is the fact that they keep talking about the same things. We're going to make life better for you, you know. But give us some facts. Give us some thoughts about how are you going to do these things. And I don't hear that. I don't hear it from anybody. All I see is the glamour and the glitter, but you don't see what I am going to do to make this position as governor a better position than maybe what it might have been. Governor DeWine's done a good job. And everybody shuffles that aside. And I think they need to say, well, Governor DeWine did this, but I think we can do some of this. We don't hear any of those kind of things, Scott.
Why do you think the Republican Party more or less has turned on Governor DeWine?
Well, I don't know. I think you got to be in a group. It's kind of a group thinking process. Probably both parties. I don't know, but I think he's more independent than probably a whole lot of them are in the Republican Party right now, and I think that may be a cause of concern to many.
Are you surprised? I just saw a poll this morning. Amy Acton is still in the lead in the mm-hmm. polls. Now, it's a slim margin, but it's maybe 1 or 2 percentage points, mm-hmm. depending on what poll you look at. Mm-hmm. A year ago, people thought Vivek Ramaswamy was a shoo-in for this. And really, for the last 6 months, Amy Acton has pretty well led the polls and garnered a lot of support from Democrats that really no candidate for governor, Democratic candidate for governor, has since Ted Strickland. You know, we're talking 16 years at this point. Mm-hmm. What is it about her that has allowed her to do that?
I think she does a good job of talking with people. I think she meets people well. She gets around. She's motivated. Not that the other gentleman is not, but she seems to be more of a grassroots type of a candidate. And of course, a lot of people would maybe not agree, but I thought she did a good job with the COVID thing. And I think she talked about things that were of interest to the public regarding the COVID. And I think it's kind of carried over to the other parts of her campaigning.
And Vivek Ramaswamy, as I say, a year ago, people thought that he was an absolute shoe-in here. Mm-hmm. And now he's facing a primary from Casey Putch. Now, people feel that's not going to be a huge deal for him, but he has had to drop $10 million here in the last month on his campaign for a campaign blitz. What happened to Vivek Ramaswamy, in your opinion?
Well, I think a little bit, too. People are maybe a little anti-too much money. I think you can give a message out there that maybe, you know, she's overwhelmed, you know what I mean, because of all this. And sometimes I think you gotta, you know, do some things pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And all I hear about him is he's a billionaire, and we went to get, more television spots because he just gave whatever station up, however many millions of dollars. You know, that's probably not real good for some people.
I am surprised. We've had Casey Putch on, who is running against him in this primary. We've had Casey Putch's lieutenant governor candidate on, Kim. I forget her last name, but her name, Kim, who was on last week.
Yeah.
We'll get it here. But they are very anti-Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, I understand that you want to win the primary, yeah, but the things that they say about him,
yeah,
is very, very harsh from the Republican Party. They feel that Vivek has pretty much sold him down the river and that this is not a real Republican and he's just interested in money.
I think that's maybe what the people are picking up on. But that, again, Scott, is where everybody attacks everybody. You know, I don't want you attacking your fellow candidate. I want to hear what you guys all want to do. And you need to know that, whether it be for the city, county, state, or national government.
Kim Georgeton is her name, so make sure we got that right. But boy, I was surprised that when they came on, exactly how rough they were on him. And I have said to both of them, I said, you know, if Vivek wins this primary, is that essentially handing Amy Acton the gubernatorial ship? Because if he loses, even if the Putch group, let's say it's 10%, if they won't vote for Vivek on election day, that's enough to swing it in Amy Acton's direction. And they don't seem to care about that. They seem to feel, they certainly don't want her as Republicans, but they don't want him either.
Yeah, that's way and above my pay grade.
It's fascinating to watch.
It's
just fascinating because I don't think anybody ever expected it to go this way. In this particular race, have you decided who you're going to vote for yet?
I think so.
You do?
I think I will, look at the issues for sure and some things that I think may affect us. Our town needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
And it concerns me a little bit that we're not getting some federal and state help.
And I want to talk about local here in a second, but if the election were held today, would you be an Acton or a Ramaswamy person?
I probably would be an Acton person right now.
It's interesting. Do you think it would be significant that she would be the first female elected governor?
Oh, I think so. I don't think there's any question about it, just like President Obama.
Yeah.
You know, but let's that's fine. If she gets the job done, if she can get the job done, I'm all for it. But Scott, I go to some other towns and I see what they're doing, and I don't want to take away anything away from Luke Henry or any of our people in Marion, because we got a lot of people who work really hard, and I take my hat off to them. But I see a lot of cranes, I see building, I see housing going up. We got to get in that mix.
Longtime resident of Marion, Your roots go back 80 plus years to this building, being born in this building. What changes have you seen over the years in Marion for the good and for the bad?
Well, I think the industrial change has been the biggest thing. The jobs, the high-paying jobs that the railroad, you know, had, and some of our other manufacturing companies, you know, and it's been tough. But some other towns, and I think we're trying. I don't think we're standing still by any stretch of the imagination. But a lot of towns, you know, you look at Newark and some of these other towns, they seem to be coming out of this a little bit. And I know that the computerization of and the high tech things are important, and they're getting some things in other counties. I don't see us getting, and I think we should be in the mix.
You know, Marion has come under some heat here as of late. We were deemed in fiscal caution, mm-hmm, by the state auditor's office. Mm-hmm. By all accounts, we're nearly $9 million in the hole. The city has got to submit a plan to the state auditor more or less within the next month. If it's approved, good. If not, there is a possibility the state could take over Marion financially. How do you think we got here? I know you're not on the inside and neither am I, but what do you think happened?
I don't know. I really don't know. I've thought of that. And I'd like to maybe know a little bit more about where the shortage is. Have we been spending too much for certain things, or, you know, where are we? I think the people will want to know this too at some point, don't you?
Well, and I think that's the problem. We were talking about it in the first hour is, you know, unfortunately the buck does stop with the mayor, whoever the mayor is. And I'm not sure that this mayor during this crisis has elucidated, well, obviously you're a resident and you're not sure what's going on. Exactly how we got here.
Yeah.
You know, that's a problem.
And the big thing is, how are we going to get out of it?
And how are we going to get out of it?
And with the least amount of negativity.
Yeah.
I think that you need to share that and let the people know, and the people need to rally. And it is what it is. And we can't go back. We got to go straight ahead. And whatever it takes, we got to do it.
I mean, just this week, we have seen press releases in which the rates are going to go up at the Aquatic Center this summer pretty significantly. And yesterday, we got the note that the sanitation rates are going to go up. There's been the proposal that curbside recycling will go away after 41 years. We haven't seen that yet, but it's certainly on the table. Bus rates, possibly on the increase. That's been brought up. Hasn't been done yet, but who knows? What do you make of these fix ideas? I guess these are the ideas to fix the problem. The
thing that bothers me as much as anything is, are our streets going to become in worse shape than they already are right now? Have you driven down Mount Vernon Avenue?
A little rough.
A little rough right now.
Rough.
I mean, are we going to be sacrificing? What's the balance here? I think we have to get that in front of people. Well, you know, what do we do? Where do we go? I don't want less police. I don't want less firemen, or EMS people, whoever. City services. City services are obviously very important. And I know it's a tough job for the mayor. And I know it's a tough job for any service or safety director. But somehow we've got to console. They got to get their heads together a little bit. I have not liked... some of the attitudes and the differences and the non-compliance and the non, you know, compatibility of our council, whether Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter. It's a local situation here.
Well, that's an interesting thing. It really, you know, I covered many elections. This is not the ancient history. That it really, on the local level, the party didn't used to matter as much. It mattered some, but it was not a big thing. Mostly people were voting for the people. Now you've got one Democrat on city council.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any other Democrats involved in city government. I mean, the treasurer's a Republican, the mayor's a Republican, the auditor's a Republican, and all but one city council member.
But that wasn't always like that.
No, but I, you know, when we have one party pretty well controlling everything, does this cause a problem?
Well, and that pendulum obviously swings, but I think we need to get beyond that. in our current situation. And we've got to somehow, put the weapons down and get people's heads together. I don't think we're doing that as well as we need to.
You know, there was a lot of talk when Mayor Collins was elected that it was the first time, certainly in a long, long time, and I can't find where this ever happened in Marion history, but if somebody can, they'll point it out to me, where somebody became mayor who had never been elected to city council, had never been elected in city government. You know, Mayor Schertzer had been a city council person. Jack Kellogg had been a city council person. Mm-hmm. Doc Brown had been a city council person. Ron Malone the same.
Yeah.
You know, all of these people did not just become mayor.
Right.
And how important is experience?
Well, I think it's a relationship thing. You know, the relationships that you build up over the years with your fellow councilman or whoever on the other side of the fence. And I don't know if we have that going as well as we should.
Well, it's unfortunate because you look at it now and you say, would have some experience mattered? Would it have made things a little better? I don't know.
That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Scott, it really is. And these are not easy jobs. They're not easy jobs. And we need maybe more people interested in them too.
When we look back at some of these people, you've been around for some of these people's tenure. We were talking about Jack Kellogg last hour. He's made an endorsement in the 86th district race for Ben Weber. Mm-hmm. But when you look back on the mayoralship, 16 years of Jack Kellogg, how did you look at him as a mayor?
I thought he was very good. I really did. I remember him telling me a great story. I said, boy, there's a lot of snow this winter. And he said, yeah, and you know, Fran, he says, you throw salt out there and you plow it, and you don't have anything to show for it. I thought that was a great comment.
Yeah.
But no, he seemed to have a mentality that pleased a whole bunch of people, whether you were on one side of the fence or the other. I really think that. I think we had a history of some good folks that were able to do that.
Then we had Mayor Schertzer, who also served for 16 mm-hmm. years. They are the two longest-serving mayors in Marion history.
Right, right.
What did you make of the tenure of Scott Schertzer?
I thought he was very good. I thought he was young, aggressive, and some things happened when he was there that would need to have happened. But we got a bill on some of that at this point in time. I'm not sure that's happened.
Mayor Collins has been in for 2 years now, a little over 2 years. Mm-hmm. What do you make of his tenure so far?
I know the mayor. I know the mayor. Fine man. I am a little bit of a loss because I don't attend council meetings. I don't know a lot about it all. But I think he's attractive to people, and I think he's got a way about him that's very good. But we need to continue down some paths that he could lead us. And I know he could.
Do you think this will all turn out okay? Do you think there is a light at the end of the tunnel? Because most people feel this is the bleakest part because the rates are going up now. We don't know what's going to happen with the state, but we're going to find out pretty quick in the next couple months. Mm-hmm. And this is a place Marion has not been.
Well, there has to be a light at the end of the tunnel, Scott. I mean, there's no choice. somehow it's got to be figured out, and it's going to take a lot of heads, and I think they need to maybe look for some help if necessary. I don't know if we've thought in some of those processes before, but I'm not talking about a research type of thing that takes forever to do, but you know, why are we having trouble with counting system or what, you know, what, somehow that's got to be figured out. That's got to be cleared up.
Well, and there's some issue there as well.
I'm concerned that if we have a person in the job that gets elected to the job and is unable to perform it, that does concern me.
If you know, and we're not hoping for this, but if the state does have to come in here and take over, what will that say to you as a resident? Because this could be in the future.
I hate to say it, but it could happen.
It could happen.
And, you know, you just need to follow their directions. I mean, there's no choice.
Yeah, with them, you don't have much of a choice.
You don't have a choice.
It's going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen, that we can do our own thing. But I think we have to be prepared for anything.
Do you think there's anything to the fact? I mean, we have a great history in Marion. We have a lot of things to be proud of. But that maybe in a way, we celebrated ourselves too much, and that's why people are shocked by this downturn that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I think we all thought everything was fine.
Yeah,
and I know I was kind of shocked when I heard of $8 or $9 million difference in balances.
Yeah,
I thought, wow, how would this just show up now?
That's a lot of people's question. And again, and the mayor still has a chance to fix this. I mean, I think explaining that, you know, people are a lot more forgiving when you explain the problem.
People are very forgiving. And I think if you level with them, they're going to rally behind you.
Mm-hmm. What period in Marion for you was the best?
Well, probably didn't appreciate it when it was the best.
Right.
You know, the 50s were great years for Marion with the advertising agencies, and the downtown was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Marion was a going place. My grandfather came from Germany and settled in Circleville with a cousin. And then he knew of the railroads, and he knew of Marion and what was going on. And he was a tailor by trade. And he came to Marion because of the business that he would be able to attract as a tailor. Because in those days, they wore suits and you had to have them made.
Well, speaking of that, what do you make of what's going on at the Supreme Court right now? Because we've got a whole thing about birthright citizenship, and they're gonna decide at some point here in the next week, I would say. But are you surprised this even has become a question? In the United States of America,
I'm surprised it hasn't come up before.
Yeah.
I mean, why all of a sudden now are we looking at these kind of things? Anybody born here is an American citizen. That's what I was told.
And I guess we're going to find out by the Supreme Court.
And all of us came from someplace.
Well, that's it. That's it.
You know, my grandfather came from Germany. He probably came through Ellis Island. I assume.
Well, what do you make of what we have seen with ICE across this country and immigration?
I don't like the way they're doing it. I'm a person that respects the human person. And I don't care if they're black, red, white, doesn't matter. You have to respect. And I think Pope Leo has pointed that out immensely. In recent times.
What do you make of Pope Leo? Been there about a year now, I think. First American Pope. People thought they would never see an American Pope from Illinois. What do you make of this Pope?
I think he's doing well. I like what he's thinking. I like his approach. I think he's reaching out to everybody. And that's so important, Scott. We have our brothers out there that are, and sisters, you know, that are maybe of different faiths, but we're all marching down the same trail. And, you know, we can't forget that. You know, I drove by our temple of Israel. They were having a service, and we have friends there. You have friends there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a police cruiser sitting there. That really, really kind of bothers me.
You know, this is interesting that you bring this up, because last night Mary Ellen Withrow was here and Glenn Coble, and we had a conversation. We did a little tape show last night, and we were talking about the anti-Israel sentiment, anti-Jewish sentiment, anti-Semitic sentiment that has set into this country on social media and in young people in the last few years. And I think what you saw at the temple here in Marion, a police cruiser being there is a sign of that. What do you make of the rise in anti-Semitism?
Well, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like anybody that's downgraded or or, you know, these are Americans. These people are Americans. They have as much right to vote and live in this country as you and I do. They're not come. They didn't just get off the ship. And I think we're way off base on that.
How do you think we got to this point? You look back and you say, this country elected its first African-American president in 2008, possibly first female governor here in Ohio coming up this year. If not, first non-white governor with Vivek Ramaswamy. Mm-hmm. So there is progress being made, but somewhere along the line, we have birthright citizenship on the table. We have ICE in people's homes. We have claims of Haitians doing crazy things in Springfield. We have all of this going on. Are we making progress or are we regressing at this point?
I think we're regressing, but I think the majority of our people are still, acceptable to all folks. But they're not heard. The ones that are heard are the ones that are on the other side of the ledger.
One story I do want to cover this morning because it's important to us here in Marion. I mentioned Mary Ellen Withrow, of course, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, mm-hmm. Guinness Book of World Records holder for signing more currency than anybody else in the history of the United States, history of the world at this point. Well, we found out recently that for the first time in 165 years, the Treasurer's name will no longer be on the money. Come this summer, the president's name will be on the money. I think in Marion, we all take a special interest in this because of Mary Ellen.
I look at every bill I get to see if Mary Ellen's name's on it.
Exactly.
And if it is, I keep it.
And we all...
And I pass it out to my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren.
And we all got that way.
I mean, that's our person.
Yes, yes. And now, the position that she was in, Treasurer of the United States, for the first time in 165 years, that person's name will no longer be on the money. What do you make of this? This just happened a week ago today.
Well, on there right now is two signatures, right?
Right. Secretary and...
Yeah, and the treasurer.
And the treasurer.
Well, don't take their names off. Huh? Those are the people who are in charge of that. Yeah. He can put his name... If he wants to put his name on him, that's fine. Do so. But let's don't take names off.
Yeah.
So let's don't do that.
165 years is a long time.
That's a long time. That's probably a proven thing that works pretty well.
Yeah. And I think it does bother people because names on the money, that's not something a president was supposed to do. And it's going to happen. So
you're supposed to just kind of keep things somewhat separate.
Somewhat.
I think we've kind of lost that, don't you?
Well, we're heading into the 250th anniversary of this country this summer. What would you say the state of the United States is right now?
Well, I think we're trying to do too many things in too many different directions, and a lot of them aren't working. And somehow we've got to get back to some basic. I think the people out there would agree. We got to get back to some basic values, some basic things that have made us great. And it's not a lot of things we're currently doing, Scott.
Fran, when you look back at your life, what would you say is the high and what's the low?
Well, I guess I didn't have a lot of lows.
That's good.
I think my mom and dad did when I was born at the end of the Depression. I'm sure of that. I'm sure that was pretty tough, pretty difficult. But I think we've been very fortunate in this country that we really haven't had to go through the things that they did. My concern is we're not feeding people. My concern is if there's children, however many millions there are that they show on TV, that are going hungry. These are my concerns. Humanistic type of concerns, and that's what that bothers me. But I'm kind of a that way. That's who I am.
Are you optimistic?
Yeah, I have to be. Yeah, I have to be optimistic.
You live a good long life. You live into your 80s. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. we all lose people.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get through? Everybody deals with it. How do you get through loss?
How do you get through it?
How do you get through it? How do you get through loss?
Well, you just have to have a strong will. You know, I mean, you're going to go through a lot of things in your lifetime. You're going to lose loved ones. You're going to lose spouses. You know, but life doesn't stop. And we need to continue to leave this country better than what it is, hopefully, when my parents were here. I'm not sure we're doing that so well right now. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That was always the thing. Your children should have a better situation than what maybe mom and dad had. Well, I'm not sure we're doing that.
What do you still want to do you haven't done?
I pretty much have done most everything that I need to do, or you know, I think would want to do. I'm probably a little bit more into travel now. You know, it bothers me when I talk to people that have been in other countries and so on and so forth that don't really have a good feeling about us anymore. And I think we have that a lot. And people are not traveling the United States like they once did. And, you know, I was always proud of our country when, you know, if you had exchange students coming over, if you had friends from other places and so on and so forth, you know, you were a United States citizen. You know, this was something that a whole bunch of people, well, a whole bunch, most of the world would have liked to have been. And I want to get back to that.
What's it going to take to correct this ship, local, state, national level? What do we got to do?
Well, I think it's going to be the people that have to make the decision individually and move it along. You know, if we're voting for somebody because we don't like, you know, something that really is, I want to vote for people, and I think you do, Scott, too. I want to vote for people that can make us better roads, better highways, better services, you know, spend the money wisely. And I'm not sure we're really doing that. I think there's too much money that's being spent that unfortunately is not helping what we need to be doing.
Do you think that what change do we need to see in Marion to get on the right track?
I don't think it's too far away. I mean, I really don't. I think we've got good people. I think a whole lot of people that deal with in City Hall or whether they're police, fire, first responders, and so forth, they all have very good intentions. They really do. It's just that we've got to kind of reset our focus. And I think some things could probably, you know, be done maybe to recenter us. You know, maybe focusing on some other things that make us maybe a little bit better and a little stronger and more open people.
You know, it's always been this way. The way Columbus news media goes, they tend to report more on the bad things going on in Marion than the good. If you see a truck here from Columbus news station, yeah, it's usually for the bad.
Yep.
And, of course, one of the stories that was more dominating out of Marion in the last couple of years was the accusation and indictment of Ayers Ratliff, sitting city councilman, mm-hmm, on rape charges. Mm-hmm. Now, that trial was held. Mm-hmm. He was found not guilty. Mm-hmm. So here we are. What damage do you think that did to Marion on the state level? Because it was covered on the state level.
Yeah. Well, obviously it doesn't do you any good. And it's sad that, you know, if that got to a point where it was said to be done, it wasn't. I mean, I assume
that's what the jury said.
That's what the jury said. So that's kind of an unfortunate situation.
To watch something like that when you turn on the 6 o'clock news, mm-hmm, and there it is about your hometown,
yeah,
that's not a good feeling.
No, and you know, I think at one time, I think there was some jealousy from Columbus about Marion. You know, we were pretty good. And we just need to get back to some of those things, Scott.
And now the financial problems rule everything here.
Well, they do now, and it's going to be that way, but we can't lose sight of what we need to be, continue to keep our focus on, and we need positivity a lot. You know, that's, I hope, one of the things that the mayor and the council, I would love for them to be very very positive about how we can do some things and how we're getting it done.
Fran, you've been in the community for a long time, as we started the interview by saying you were born in this hospital, this building that we're in right now. You went on to do some great things at some colleges in the sports arena, in the education arena, came back here at Marian Catholic, were a fixture there, did some broadcasting along the way, which was great. You did a show on the station for a while.
I did.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I did some things in Bowling Green after I got out of coaching. I worked with WFOB, Fort Astoria Bowling Green.
Have a very unique voice in the community. How would you like, years and years from now, when people look back on your time here, how would you like them to remember you?
Well, I just want to be a fair person, you know, that you know, was good to people, and you know, had a, you know, a good feeling for anybody that I might have encountered or ran into.
Fran, it's always good to see you. I'm glad you could come in this morning.
Thanks, Scott. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yep, one of my favorite people, and we'll have to get you to come in more often because it's fun to just sit and have these conversations.
Well, it is, and I just wish the mayor and everybody that needs to get some things done, I wish them the best, and I think the best thing we can do, too, we need to say a lot of prayers.
Yep. Doesn't hurt. Yep. Doesn't hurt. Fran Ball has been the guest this morning, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. Linda Sims, Voice of the People, coming up next. Scott Spears for this day, headed for the dugout.
In politics.
No, not in politics. But as a human being, what kind of person is he in person?
Next question.
Okie doke. We will go right along. we won't even stop. The tires are squealing away from that one. Is Dr. Ruth in a happy relationship?
Good question. What is your next question, Scott?